For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I guess that for all of us here tonight is the most well-known verse in the whole of the New Testament, perhaps even in the Bible. When I saw what the set readings were for tonight, it got me thinking about God's love again. Actually, I'm constantly challenged by God's love, not least because it is in such marked contrast to that which the world calls love, which is so often the anything goes as long as you love, like some 60s hippie commune. Looking round here, I guess none of you can remember them except me. But no, I like to think of God's love, as expressed in this wonderful verse, as tough love. After all, there's nothing tougher than having to send your only son to die a horrendous death on the cross. But perhaps if I talk about tough love, some of you may find that a bit misleading, because you might have visions of old public schools or Victorian workhouses. So what do I mean by tough love? This is what's really challenged me as I've been preparing for tonight. I told somebody beforehand that my waste paper bin at home, up in my study, is almost full with discarded efforts at what I wanted to say tonight. But finally, yesterday, the Lord sort of cleared the mist away. At least I hope he did. You'll have to tell me at the end whether he's cleared it for you. Because I want to look at one particular aspect of tough love, and that is the kindness of God. Maybe an odd thing to highlight, but bear with me as this talk progresses. Of course, we know that kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And therefore, because of that, we know that it's part and parcel of the character of God himself. It's part of his very nature. He is a kind God. But what's the meaning of that kindness in the context of this tough love that I keep mentioning? Just about a week ago, Jenny and I watched an amazing testimony on the internet. It was of a Christian couple who were in a crisis in their relationship. We don't need to go into the reasons for the crisis. But they sought counsel, and part of the problem was the wife's image and understanding of who God was. The point was that she saw him as a hard taskmaster, someone who had to be obeyed or else. Someone that she only ever really went to when she needed something. In her head, as a Christian, she knew God was love, but she had no experience of that love. But in God's grace and mercy, he gave their counsellor a picture of a church with the details of the carpet and the seating and the altar rail. And the wife instantly recognized it as a church she attended at the age of 7. And then she remembered an event at that time in her life, and she recalled the event. There was apparently at one of the services an altar call for those who wanted to receive the gift of tongues. She was told in no uncertain terms that she had to go forward for this gift. And being an obedient little child, she dutifully went forward. However, despite having quite heavy hands, as she remembers it, laid upon her, and her pleading with God to release her in this gift, nothing came. And then to cap it all, she was told by the pastor of the church that unless she spoke in tongues, she was not really a Christian. She then recalled, at the tender age of 7, of telling God that she was giving up on him. If he didn't think she was good enough to give her tongues, that was it. Now, 30 years on, the counsellor encouraged her to picture Jesus with her now. And she was given a wonderful vision of Jesus standing a little apart from her and saying to her, "I'm here, I'm waiting for you, but there's no pressure. I'm here, I'm waiting for you, but there's no pressure." This broke the floodgates, bringing release and healing to that woman. Discussing what had happened afterwards, they came to realize that Jesus hadn't given that little girl tongues 30 odd years ago, because, as she so vividly recalled, she was only trying to please her pastor. She didn't really want them for herself at that time. And her words were that Jesus is so kind that he will never violate my will. He will wait till we want him. That testimony so grabbed me that I've watched it a couple of times. And it also led me into a better understanding of how we deal and love and are kind to others. After all, didn't Jesus command us that we are to love others as he loved us? How many times, in justifiable on one level eagerness on our part, we want to see somebody healed. We want to see somebody set free. We want to see somebody saved. But our eagerness becomes a pressure on that person, a coercion. 42 years ago, a little over, I became a Christian, and for 6 months I tried to get Jenny to become one too. I knew it was the thing for her, but my way was to argue her into the kingdom. And it always ended up in tears on her side. "Oh, I don't want her to leave me alone." So when I listened to the testimony of this woman, the Holy Spirit there was a conviction as well that that's not the way forward. But why is this so important in the context of God's love? It is, of course, because love can never, ever be forced. Love must be a choice. Yes, God loves everyone without exception. But the verse goes on to say, whoever believes. Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, even he cannot, or rather refuses to, force us to love him. Love has to be a free choice. And that's part of the reason that I've given this description of God's love as tough. For his kindness never forces us, never coerces us. He waits patiently, another gift of the Spirit. Waiting, waiting. I only had to wait 6 months before Jenny succumbed to the pressure of the Spirit rather than her husband. God had to wait 30 years for this lady to be released in the gift he wanted to give us. God is kind. But as I was preparing this, I thought of another aspect of tough love, which is coupled strangely with kindness. And when I mention it, you may think, woo. That strange pairing is discipline. I guess we all believe that God disciplines us. And I praise him that he does. But we need to see that his discipline is actually itself an act of kindness. He does it because he loves us. The classic passage, of course, on this issue is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Just a little bit of it I'll read. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought fit best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. God's love is tough because he always wants the best for us. And sometimes that requires him to discipline us. Some years ago, many years ago, I remember watching a program on the television about runaway children. And one of the stories, if I remember the context right, was of a 19-year-old girl, she just completed her A-levels and got very good grades, was sadly found dead in Piccadilly Underground Station with an overdose. She'd been living for some while with a foster family. And when the police contacted the family and looked through her room, they found a journal that she had been faithfully keeping for many years. And in it, there was a story of a holiday that this girl went with the family and their young children down to Cornwall. And the girl recorded a particular incident on the beach. The dad had told the two young children not to go beyond the rocks in the little bay where they were on the sand. But perhaps inevitably, being children, one of them did. When the child came back, this girl recorded in her journal that Dad gave the girl a smack and then a great big hug. And this is what the girl wrote. I'll never forget it, what she wrote in her journal. I wish my dad had loved me enough to hit me. Now, of course, in the context, she meant smack. But I've never forgotten that. That is tough love. The dad wasn't disciplining that child out of anger, but out of kindness. I've been challenged by God's tough love, not least in the way that I love others, with kindness, yes. But perhaps what about the discipline? Jesus makes it very clear that we are not to judge others. Why? Because judging someone is attacking the person. What we are called to do is from time to time to challenge a person's behaviour. How are we to do it? Well, you can read Matthew 18 for yourself. But what comes out very clearly in that, and all the letters, is that that challenge must be in the context of a relationship. It must be done with love. It must be done with kindness. It must be done with a view to repentance. In fact, Paul reminds us that it's God's kindness that leads us towards repentance. But what about the wider society? What about all the issues that are facing us as a country, which are so clearly contrary to God's love? Well, of course, we are called to be salt and light, but in that gain, not condemning. For too long, the church, on the one hand, has been finger-wagging, and on the other hand, has been, well, we just love, anything goes. That is not tough love. That is not God's way. Our role in disciplining out of kindness is to always point to the better way, to point with a message of hope. So, I don't know how this has come over. If it's been a bit of a ramble, then forgive me. But John 3:16 is so deep, there's so much in it, that that's my excuse for what I've said tonight. However, I do feel that I've done my bit. If you are once again grabbed by the kindness of God, the kindness of His tough love, and recognize that even His discipline is an act of His kindness, and that moreover we will seek to be a kind people with a willingness to challenge when appropriate, but not by coercion or bullying, rather with love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.